Turn with me to John chapter 13, 12. John chapter 12, and I want to take you first to James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. I'd like to show you, we are going to be practicing, you heard the word encounters. It's a simple little principle I learned, the Lord taught me, which has opened so many doors of discovery. And he said, whenever I come to prayer or worship or service, there's a responsibility that I have, and that is to engage, to get involved, I used the illustration last service when I was 15 in America. There was, and still is, but less and less probably, but there was such a thing as a rite of passage. And that was when you got your driver's license. And I didn't pay much attention to school because I'd kind of gotten lost in a lot of bad things. But I did pay attention to driver's ed. Because I wanted to get that class you had to pass before you could get your driver's permit to which you could get your driver's license. So I was there listening, learning, and intentionally practicing, even though I'd been learning how not to listen because you wanted to be cool also. So that's engagement. When you engage, you encounter something that God will do in the sound of what you're hearing or in the worship or inside the word you're reading. There'll be like what we would call the burning bush, that light, that sound. And it isn't something large. It's usually a subtle, still small voice. The Bible says in John 14 that Jesus, the Holy Spirit would come and bring to our remembrance. And literally the remembrance means he just kind of gently brings something across our mind. We've all had that happen. A thought comes to us that we hadn't thought about, or scripture. Sometimes it's a feeling, a sense of peace that we're all agitated and the peace. If you lean into the what is being offered, that encounter, that experience starts to bring life into us. And from the engagement into the encounter, the experience, there always will come an exchange. God will leave something, deposit something in us, as well as lift something from us, some burdens, a sickness. We could be sick and then in that moment find the healing has rested instead of the sickness, and the sickness is gone. We could be bewildered and uncertain what to do, and all of a sudden we're in peace. And the joy of peace, you have to know this, beloved, peace means your prayer is answered. And peace is the fruit of all prayer. The first fruit of prayer is peace. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer, supplication, and intercession and giving of thanks, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. How come you guys don't do this? You do this for Rufus. You don't do it, you know, to God. You should have been saying, and the peace of God. Guard our heart and our mind. So when peace comes, you know God's heard you. And if you lean into the peace, then the peace becomes sufficient for the rest of the answer. Even if you don't have a clue yet still what to do, you know you've been heard. You know peace has come, settles over your mind, over your heart, and you can just go forward in your day assured that at the appointed time and place, it will come to pass. So I want to show you James chapter 1, verse 21, 22, the simple little practice of engagement, encounter, exchange. James 1, 21 talks about taking the word and planting it in our heart. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness and humility the implanted word. The word is meant to be implanted. It's like that idea of knowing, experiencing, is the same word for and Joseph did not know Mary until the child was born. It has the intimacy of intercourse and the exchange that takes place. And the word is what is left implanted. And if we allow it to stay implanted, it has a saving mechanism that starts to take our soul from whatever distraught position or wrong thinking and starts to overwhelm and save our souls. And then he says in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Now, the word doers is where we get the word poet. It's a performer. So the Bible isn't something that we are reading, then adhering to, and by our adherence, we are then being qualified to be accepted, received, answered prayer. It's literally we are reading and allowing it to be like a script, and we're learning to step into the script and experience it and perform it and to encounter it. And that's what we're going to do on the final approach week of the Passion. We are going to enter into that week through small skits and scenes, and then how do we step into that? So one of the ways to do so, and we'll go over to John now, is that when we read the Bible, today we're going to watch Jesus come in on Palm Sunday, and then some encounters that John records. We're going to have a chance to step into the character. So when we're reading today, ask yourself, as the characters unfold, which one do I connect to? Who am I most drawn to? What do I feel like? And again, the only person you don't get to be is Jesus. Because there's only one Jesus. And that's why Cammie and I laugh so much about it. I do Jesus well. Well, sometimes. And the reason why I want us to do so is that if we try to be Jesus, we get a messianic complex. And then we have to be perfect, which then we become liars. And we can't have God changing us because we're feeling like we're having to measure up to something. But if we can see, if we can encounter Jesus as he encountered people, and we find ourselves in a person or in a scene, we can step into that encounter and a lot of times have the same experience that happened inside the Bible. And especially if you, we won't go over what we did in the first service, but you can go, wow, I see that's where I'm stopping, or that's where I am stalling, or that's where I'm have the offenses come in. So we're going to start with Lazarus and how impacting he was to the testimony of Jesus. And I believe the resurrection of the church, in resurrection life, living in a very empowered Christ display in the midst of us, will be the miracle akin to the Lazarus resurrection from the dead that led to Jesus' final approach and what set the Sanhedrin into making the decision to kill Jesus. However, this will be to bringing Christ in his final approach to claim his bride into coming into our place of fullness and maturity. This will be the closing of the age, but there'll be a like great demonstration of shifting and moments of time to which the more I go into them now, the more I can recognize them when they come, as they come. They'll be a little different, but they will have the same impact. So Lazarus, it says in chapter 12, verse 9, and a great many of the Jews knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom they had raised from the dead. I believe God's coming today. People are not coming just because they've heard about Jesus, but they've heard of the miracle he's done with his church. The life that he's released in the people that love him, the love that is abounding in the people that love him, the miracles that are happening amongst the people that he loves. And there'll be an attraction, as it was the church began. If you go to Acts chapter 5, you can see Acts chapter 4, 5, you can see that very demonstration in the first church in the first few years. And it will be greater at the end of the age, not less. Then he goes on and he says, but the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also. That's why there will come persecution at the time of such great display, because we will be such a threat to all other systems and all other religions and such. But it won't be because we are being, mean and mean-spirited. We will be these lovers just liberating, unstopping, unstoppable, because Christ dwelling in the midst of us. So they plotted to put Lazarus to death because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. So a miracle of resurrection life can start to shift people from wherever they currently have been in disbelief into belief. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, this is Palm Sunday, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of the Jews." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the king is coming, sitting on a donkey colt." That is a beautiful prophetic promise in Zechariah, I believe, chapter 12, and it speaks of how he comes to overthrow the chariots of Ephraim, the pride of man, through humility. But catch this, I love John. His disciples did not understand the things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, that's always the resurrection. When he was glorified, then they remembered these things. There's a lot of things that we don't understand until the glory comes. When the glory comes, it makes all things clear. When the glory came, it says they remembered these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. We're going to have so many exciting moments in time when we realize, oh, whoa, that's in the scripture. Wow, I was a part of that. Yes, you, me, all of us. Why not? I mean, this is not reruns. He's making fresh stuff. This is a closing age is going to be better than the beginning age. This is going to be, whoa. We're going to go, I can't believe it. That's in the Bible, and I was there. Whoa. So therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus. Now watch this, the power of a testimony, the company of people. In a miracle moment. When the people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, they bore witness. They're going around going like, honestly, I didn't really like Jesus. I didn't believe in the rabbi. I wasn't thrilled with what he was teaching. It's kind of weird, weird dude. But when that Lazarus came out of the tomb, let me tell you what happened. He was bound hand and foot, grave clothes all over his face, and he just came hopping out or floating out. We don't know. But he came out. And then they said, loose him, let him go. And there he was. He was not one bit of death upon him, totally alive. Yeah. And they're bearing witness of Jesus. For this reason now, I believe. Well, verse 18 says, for this reason, people also met him because they heard he had done this sign. They also, for this, and the Pharisees said among themselves, look, you see, you're accomplishing nothing. Look, the whole world's gone after him. Now, there were certain Greeks. We missed a verse. It was verse 10. Verse 10, I missed that. John 12, 10. Yeah, but the chief priest plotted to put Lazarus to death also. There's coming a sound that stops us. That is so threatening that we become a threat in itself. And then it says, verse 19, the Pharisees therefore said, I see what happened. I jumped around. Okay. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see, you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. So the power of sound, the power of testimony, the power of affirmation. That's why we're working at learning the Passion Week. That's why I hope you will just block out your Palm Sunday to Resurrection Sunday and just say, hey, I want to step into this. I've got a script. Here's my script. The Holy Spirit's going to help make it an experience for me. And so let's pause. Who are you? In the Palm Sunday experience, are you afraid? A Pharisee watching from afar? Gosh, I just really am not sure I'm going to allow this parade. I feel threatened by what's happening. It's new. That's okay to feel that way. I felt that way many times when something new is coming into town, and I'm not sure I want to know what to do with that. But I've learned that if I can go to Jesus and say, Lord, I feel threatened. I feel jealous. I feel envious. Those moments that I see what I feel, I can be free from what I feel. Does that make sense? Otherwise, I spend all the time trying to say I don't feel that way. And that's, you know, where you're in disconnect, you're in conflict. Or there's this willingness to step into, I'm in. You are the king. You are the king. This is the time. This is the arrival moment. We're in. See, we can praise God guardedly. We'll just kind of, you know, this may be okay. Sunday may not. I don't want to get too involved until I know. Right? I'm going to kind of just, you know, I guard myself now that I'm older. I just don't get off on the first sound of excitement. Who knows? But there's always going to be that parade that you wish you were in front of. That day after the parade went by, there was never another Palm Sunday, but there is coming the coming of the Lord. So rather than me, I'm not convicting you. I'm giving us an opportunity. Let's close our eyes. Pick a person, the storyline, Pharisees, Lazarus, testifying of the victory, or just the crowd itself and those who are grabbing the palm branches and just saying, yeah, we're in. This is the King of the Jews. Who would you choose? Just choose one. Okay, now that you've chosen, and it's take a moment and be in that experience. You're not alone. These feelings, these experiences have occurred before. Now they're happening again. And how are you, what can you pull? Where is Jesus in this? And while you step into the experience, I want you to look, and I'm going quickly, I'm sorry, but look for Jesus to look to you. Look to Jesus, to look to you, and you're one of the, if you're a Pharisee standing up on the, up on one of the elevated places in the temple wall, and you're watching this excitement come up the Kindron Valley, you're going, let Jesus catch your eye and say, hey, I got a place for you. You don't have to hold your position that you feel is important to guard and protect. Come away with me and let your heart come away from the burdens and responsibilities. If you're in the praise, the abandoned praise, and you're wondering, gosh, I just feel like I'm all alone, Lord, look at you and say, hey, my son David was like that too. And he made a way for me to come into the city. You're making a way. Make a way for me. Your praise is valuable. Let the Lord collect us to himself in the character that we connect to. Okay, we'll stop. I want to go to the next scene. There were certain Greeks now, verse 20, among those who came up to worship at the feast, and they came to Philip. Greeks, predominant culture of the society, believing Jewish. Greek thinkers were called Hellenists. We don't know if they were Jewish. They were just Greeks, but they were a part of the feast. They were in on being a part of this. And they asked, they said, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip told Jesus. So we have now already four characters. Oh, can't be Jesus. So three characters. Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Whenever Jesus says glorified pre-resurrection, he means die. Whenever we speak of Jesus being glorified post-resurrection, it means raised from the dead. Jesus looked at the two as one. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. This is a powerful statement. He's speaking into himself, and he's speaking to his two disciples because they requested an audience for the Greeks to have with him. And he's saying, nah. Not on track. I have another task, and he's in opening it up. He who loves his life will lose it. The word life here is the word psuche. Psuche is where we get psychology, where we get soul. Our mind, our will, our emotions, our kind of makeup of who we feel we are and the in culture and society and life. It's just what really the part of us that touches the world we live in. And he says, he who hates his suke. No, back up. Thank you. I'm just like the kids. Scroll down. Hates his life in this world. Now, that's good. We don't hate our soul. There's a lot of people with self-hatred issues that need to really come back into love with Jesus and tell their soul to stop doing that. Let life come to your soul. Because you see, it's about this light world. A lot of times we get snagged into this world. We compare ourselves inside this world with where other people are, how much money they have, how well they're doing, what we hope to be. And we come into a depth of, it's called worldly sorrow. It's a sorrow imposed upon our soul that says you're not happy. You didn't even know you weren't happy until it told you you weren't happy. You didn't know you weren't liked until you didn't have enough friends on Facebook. You were free until you knew so much. It's a worldly sorrow. It's insidious. It's wicked. And it's wrong. And it basically flows out of self-worship. Once we came up with self-esteem, that next thing was going to have to be self-hatred. Because self is not a generating source for life. There is no love that comes from self. Self-love comes from God. We only receive love from when we're loved by God, Jesus, when we experience that love, it allows us to walk into anything and through anything. And here it says, if we hate our soul in this world, we don't let our soul. We're saying soul. It's like a little child. And for some of us, our souls are little children. They're spoiled little children. They're insistent. They desire. They run the show. They tell you what to think. They tell you how to feel. They tell you what to do. And it's like a little child. You redirect them. Yeah. You just redirect them. No, you're having a fit. I understand. But let's just turn over this way. Walk a little further over here. Let's try this toy. Does it work? It works, right? If the child will surrender, you'd redirect their attention and they will re-engage and they'll be happy again. Our soul works that simple. Yeah. It really is. You just have to kind of go, soul. Yeah, right. Look at that. Shiny. Pretty. Pretty. Shiny. Jesus. Oh, pretty shiny Jesus. You go, oh, I don't want to be like that. I'm not going to let my soul be so simply run around. Great, let your soul run you around. You don't want to do that. You just, and because pretty much perception is reality in the world we live in. Because we are a virtual society, we are already turned into the reality show. You are it. You're watching it all the time. What's happening on my Facebook account? What's going on over here? Or did my friends? I haven't seen any pictures over. You know, we are in something that's taken over everything. And we have to hate it. We can't say, hey, wait a minute. I bring my identity from here. I gain my. That's why prayer is so difficult for this generation and this season we're in, is because there's so much noise that's pulling us, and we're trying to go, okay, I don't want to be fake about how I feel. I don't want to be fake. Like, fake is like, just, I'm not going to put on something. Well, you already put on something. What you're feeling is fake. And I don't mean that it's fake that you really do feel bad and you shouldn't, or that it's like you're using it to control. It's just that people are putting on us all kinds of stuff. I didn't know that my teeth had to get whiter. Or straighter. I didn't know, you know. I mean, there's so many things you don't know, and as long as you didn't know, you were totally happy. And then you found out, and then you go, oh, gosh, what's the matter? So the soul is a receiver, right? It's like a television station. Whatever you put on it, it'll broadcast. And so God says, don't let your soul look at anything but God. God, why did you do this? Why did you put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden? You, it's your fault. He goes, no, I want a son of the same nurture and same status and same discovery. I want someone who loves me by freedom and has discovered and knows that what I offered is better, and they want it, and they've loved without being coerced or controlled. I don't want control. I don't want robots. So I'm willing to experience all of the pain that you will cause me so that I can love you freely and be freely loved. I will choose the cross and not control. And now that you have chosen me, I will lead you, and you will learn to follow me and choose me in all situations. You will actually at one day discover this is the coolest script of experience that you can have. That you literally in the pit of depression can turn to the Word, discover what it says, and step into the moment. You could take verse 25. It says, Saul, I'm sorry, but I can't love you right here. I can't nurture you. I can't have you dictate my life. I can't have you tell me that I'm not accepted when I am. You feel rejected, but Jesus says I'm accepted. The Bible says it. So, Saul, I'm going to have to redirect you back to the Word of God, and you're just going to have to let go of this stuff. And no, there's not resolution. You want so-and-so to come and tell you they're so sorry and that what they did was wrong, and well, just walk away from it. We're going to forgive. And so we direct through the Scripture ourselves toward the Scripture, and the Scripture starts to, we experience it. And all of a sudden we're going, wow, eternal life. Whoa. Seriously, let me get off of this, but you can feel good. You can be joyful and happy and delighted in your life. You can feel awesome about yourself with nothing changing. Nothing changing. You can go into a higher level of joy while your circumstance go into a worse level of outcome. And truly, to be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have to be able to carry His love into bad places. And those bad places will affect us to which we, well, let's go on. It's just crazy. Jesus is talking to himself. He's doing a bit of self-talk. There's not many times Jesus gets as unguarded. Gethsemane is one where he just opens himself up. He's going, okay, so here's what it is. Don't love this soul. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. And the word serve is paying attention to who he is, what is his likes, and just giving him his place in our life. And it's not religion. One of the things we saw men, beloved men, while we were praying for us between services, was that God wants to take down the wall of division between men in their positions of life and make them sons of the Most High, so that none of us are living with different standards of what it is that God likes about us or loves about us, that it's all found in Christ. All are Christ men. And if you're a Christ man, then you have all the benefit of being a Christian. You're not a marketplace man or a ministry man. That's a division that's built. You're not a king or a priest. You are a king and a priest. We are a kingdom of priests and a priesthood of kings. So this taking down the walls that divide us, not just really not from ourselves, as from the whole Christ. It's the whole head, the whole access point. So he who serves me will be, my Father will honor. Now here's Jesus, honest Jesus. Now my soul is troubled. Why? He was being offered, in my opinion, a coalition with the Greeks as to how might indeed be a bloodless coup to take Jerusalem back and put it under the rule of Christ. He was being offered a way out of the purpose to which he came. Now my soul is troubled. Have you ever been there? I mean, it's not just that we're going around going, stupid me, stupid me. Sometimes we really are stupid. And sometimes we're just going along happy and fine. And something else comes across our mind. And somebody else has projected. Something's told us. And we think, oh. And we follow it. And then we have troubled soul. I said, what do I do? What do I do? What should I say? Father, save me from this hour. Father, if Jesus had prayed that prayer, we wouldn't be here today. probably humanity would have self-destructed enough times. We would not be here, because if he had said, Father, save me from the hour, either Father would have one or two choices. Son, come on up like Elijah. We'll go someplace else and start it. Or he would have said, son, you get to live here for the rest of eternity and boss everybody around. So they can't know you otherwise, and you can't submit to me in this complete troubling conflict of your own emotion. Jesus was there. We're there. He says, for this purpose I came. So come here. We feel that. You feel that. There's things that right now we're walking through, each of us individually. We don't want to walk through them. We'd like to get out of it faster than anything. Right? I mean, Cammie and I spent at least 25 years planning our escape from our circumstances of life. And only recently do I not try to escape anything. I can't, first off. It's not that I got so holy. I just got so old and tired. You can't change. You know, where you are is by purpose of God. God worked hard to get you there, and he's not letting you out until he got done what he wants done. And a lot of times, honest truth, you're just being held in a holding pattern. You know, when we had our little kids and they were little, they'd get underfoot too often, a long day in the summer, nothing to do, but we're housebound for whatever reason. They're getting in fights with each other. Cammie came up with an ingenious plan. She took all of the legumes, lentils and beans and white beans, navy beans, green, you know, everything's, and she put it all into a jar, big old mason jar. So all these kids are little, you know, we had it one time, 5 children, 10 and under. And she goes, okay, everybody, I need you to help me. Okay, Mom, what? She'd set these bowls on the table. About as many bowls, as many different kinds of beans was in the mason jar. Parents, you're going to like this. And she said, okay, what I need you to do, she take the big mason bar and pours it into a big bowl. She goes, okay, I need you to separate these beans for me. I need you to get all this color, this kind of bean, put it in that bowl, and that color bean, put it over there. And it would occupy them for a couple hours. And they would be so pleased with themselves. That's a holding pattern. That's keeping you in place without getting in too much trouble so that you can be where God needs you when you need to be there. So it's okay. But Jesus said, here's what we can say anytime. This is a prayer you can pray in any situation concerning any question, any struggle, any trouble. Father, glorify your name. Father, glorify your name. Let's say that together. Father, glorify your name. Father, the voice came from heaven and said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard said, it thundered. This attentiveness to the sound, listening. Well, that was thundering. There was not even a cloud in the sky. Someone else said, an angel spoke unto him. And Jesus answered, said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now, see, every time you realign your little heart, my little soul, and say, come on, soul, I'm sorry, we're going to redirect to truth, to the word, to Jesus. I redirect myself, and I glorify your name. There comes a settling, a centering. You just recenter. Okay, I'm back in character. I'm back in who I'm called to be. I'm back in who I'm practicing. And you're okay. And all of a sudden, once you know that, the storyline starts up again. It got interrupted by the Greeks. He was in a parade on his way into Jerusalem, and they interrupted him because they had enough traction to Philip and Andrew to get their interruption into Jesus, and Jesus had to stop and address them, then address himself, and then declare, Father, glorify your name. And as soon as that comes and the voice comes, he's back on track. Now judgment's come. You start prophesying. I'll tell you, whenever you're free, you prophesy. You speak to the future. You're not sitting there going, oh. you're seeing things. I tell you what, the Holy Spirit, he's ready to go. He's going. The voice did not come for me, but because of your sake. Now judgment's come into the world. The ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw peoples to myself. Boy, he's just prophesying. He's not like going, oh, I'm going to have really mixed emotions about this cross. He mixed emotions and tossed them out and took the one emotion he needed to have. I'm going to glorify my Father. And the devil's coming down in this moment. And he's going to be a multiplication from this sacrifice. Yeah. And this, he said, signifying what death he would die. Let's pause here because we should close this. We've got to get this act and read the rest of the story. This is so good. No, we should read this last couple lines because it's in this section. I wouldn't be a good bedtime story guy. Okay, just a couple more minutes. Okay, the people answered and said, well, we've heard. You always know people are listening, but not with their heart, but with their head when they came up with a religious response to your revelatory moment. Well, we've heard, no offense, I mean, we like what you're doing, but the law that the Christ remains forever, then how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Oh, Jesus, I love you that you did this for us. Verse 35, please. Jesus said, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness shall not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of the light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Religion will shut Jesus' voice down in your mind. Jealousy will shut Jesus' voice down in your mind. Opportunities outside of the plan of God will confuse you for a season. There's all these things that will take possession of us, and we can become so secure in our opinion that we will actually walk away from the light that's being offered. So in learning to recognize the light that is always radiant, whenever Jesus becomes present in the scriptures, in worship, in himself, he illuminates, he opens our eyes to see life like he would show it to us. And we then walk no longer in a darkness. We have peace where we didn't have peace. We have a sense of purpose. We have a sense of prophecy. We have a sense of assurance. And you know, when you know when you're really free, religious arguments don't bother you. You just smile. Yeah. You poor dude. Yeah, that's lame. I was there before. I know what it feels like to be, you know. But you don't even linger there. Because you linger there, your soul goes and goes into a bad place. So it really is just, God, I'm going to hold that prophecy. So here we go. Let's take a moment. We can't be Jesus, but we can have the moment of Jesus stepping into our life and interrupting whatever place we find ourselves in that story. It's the Greeks. I got a new plan. I know how to follow Jesus with no suffering. Or I have a way to alter this situation. And it's distracting. You just finally get your soul in peace, and somebody interrupts you with, you shouldn't be in peace in this situation. This situation is a bad situation. You shouldn't be here. In fact, if you were really a you'd have more money. You'd have a better place. You just get yourself settled in the scripture, like, better is a feast of herbs where love is than the fatted calf with hatred. You're going, okay, I've been in the fatted calf moments, but you know what? It's just, I hate the strife and the contending and the willfulness. I'm just happy to be here with eating just salad where love is. And you're settled and you're living fine. You're living happy. And someone comes up and says, hey, you know what? That is not God's will for you. We've got a better plan. You got to get a step out of that. Now your soul's in trouble. Now you're struggling. And you're trying to go, whoa. You have to return yourself. I guess, you know what? We really are stepping into who Jesus was at this moment. because this is humanity being tested. Where in life are you? Would you be okay if God let you know that he has you there for himself? And purposes are being rekindled and truth is coming back and you're ready. And yet the agitation has also come. It could be the disciples trying to, turn this from a negative to a positive. It could be that people are talking about there's a glorification coming and all you're hearing is thunder. I believe the Lord would just come to each of us, wherever we are, and look at us with loving eyes. And he knows the turmoil and the upheaval of our soul. And our soul has been captured and caught. And just return to me. And you don't know how, because how do I sort out my thoughts? We're going to pray a simple prayer. Father, glorify your name. Glorify your name in me, Jesus. Glorify your name in me, Jesus. Jesus, be glorified. Just say that. Jesus, be glorified. Jesus, be glorified. Glorify your name in me. Just turn your soul now to that truth. Here he comes to glorify himself. Heaven begins to open up. The voice of Father has been heard again. I don't care where you've been, what you did yesterday. Just that simple prayer brings you back smack dab in the middle of eternity where Christ is King and you are his son, living in that point. Jesus, be glorified. Jesus, be glorified. Say it a couple more times. Jesus, be glorified. Jesus, be glorified. Glorify your name, Jesus. Glorify your name, Jesus. Let your name be glorified, Jesus. See, there's none of us in that. It's just all Jesus, and it's his name. And he starts to shift us back into that place of peace and clarity, confidence and assurance. And there's prophetic utterance. And yes, this is going to turn for the glory of God. Yes, he will be seen in this moment. He will be lifted up and draw all men to himself. Be glorified. About the river.
Opens prison doors.
We'll sing it together. Let it change our soul.
Sets the captives free. Oh, I have got a river of life. Your name is Jesus.
Overtaking everything that we're facing. Relationships. rivers, he's flowing life.
Your name is Jesus. You're the river.
Stand together. I believe the Lord would just, oh. I want to pray the rest of the verse chapter without reading it. It's about eyes opening and hearts opening to turn to the glory, to be changed by the glory. Willingness to declare what we're seeing, even at the expense or the fear that others wouldn't accept what we hear. And then just allowing his words to have so much power in our life that they literally shape our emotions and our belief systems. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you know, because John regrouped or recounts the way this whole Passion Week went. He said that Isaiah had declared, who would believe our report, and to whom is the eye of the Lord, to whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? And because Isaiah saw the glory of God, and your response was eyes would be blinded and ears would become deaf and hearts would be hard, lest they would see and hear and understand and turn, was an explanation that why so much was happening that so few were following. And declare, Lord, we ask you, be gracious to us, that the grace of God would open our eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to understand. And would you please cause us to believe your report and open our eyes and hear the good report of the one you sent in the fullness that you've come for. And Lord, though our decisions to believe begin a journey, may we have the courage to declare what we believe, to confess you as the answer to the problem, as our Savior, as our Lord, as our Deliverer. And we declare that we will be a people that are listening for the living Word of God coming out of the mouth of Jesus through the Scriptures of God, such in a way that we are knowing these words are what we're listening for, that your words are true today and they are shaping the future of tomorrow, and they are the place we abide in. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. If you want a big new new operating system to process all of this faster, lift up your hands. Heaven's giving new help by the Holy Spirit to process God and what he's doing on the earth in his church. Yes, he is. He says he's fixing some of the bugs that got in you. Yes, he's downloading. Let him come. New sound, new connection, new revelation, new understanding, new. It's coming. Yes, Lord. Bring us all the way in. All that you're doing on the earth today in Christ, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.